during the summers, on Sunday evenings, after supper, it became a tradition in our family that we would go for a drive in the car. And so we'd all go, my parents, my brother, me, and the dog. And we'd just go for a drive. Usually the first stop would be Hill's Ice Cream. It was a wonderful thing. Everyone had ice cream, even the dog. And then as we were driving, my parents would listen to this radio program with a preacher, and it began the same way every Sunday evening. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I had no idea what it meant to be redeemed. And at that age, I probably didn't even care. What I was more interested in was, why are these redeemed people supposed to say the word so? If you didn't get that yet, wait for it. I couldn't figure it out. And then years later, when I read Psalm 107, I was like, oh, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. That made more sense to me. I mean, we tell stories all the time, right? We tell stories of what happened during the day, what happened on the commute, what happened at work, what happened at school. We tell stories about what happens in our families and what happens with our friends. Stories are a part of life. And some people are really good at telling stories. And other people, well, they want to be really good at telling stories. This past summer, I've been intrigued by the soundtrack of the Broadway hit Hamilton. I've listened to it with my wife Ruthie and my daughter Anna, and those tunes keep going through my head, and the one that really caught me was the one that's called The Story of Tonight. You may remember it, where four revolutionaries are together, Alexander Hamilton and Hercules Mulligan and John Lawrence and Marquis de Lafayette. And they were thinking about this freedom and dreaming about this freedom. And as they're there together, they say, and others will tell the story of this night. Well, others have told the story of that night. We've experienced the story of that night. We've told the story of that night to every generation of people who live in this country. It's a story of revolution, the story of freedom, the story of a new start for a nation. But what about the story that's older than 241 years? What about the story of freedom that's ours, that's part of our life? I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 107. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's 43 verses long. But I want to read a few chunks and make some comments on those parts of the scriptures. Hear God's word. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Let's just pause there and pray for a moment. Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, for you are the very rock and redeemer of our lives. And so, Lord, as we think about our stories, help us to know your story. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a story about redemption. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. But what is redemption? Literally, redemption means to be delivered. But there are many aspects to it. It's the deliverance itself. It's how that deliverance comes about and the cost of that deliverance. When we talk about deliverance, as we look at the scriptures, we think of the New Testament, how we were delivered from a life of sin and its penalty. We think about how God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and took on our sins and died on our behalf and rose again. But the story of redemption is much older than 2,000 years. The story of redemption reaches back to the people of Israel when they were brought out of the land of slavery, out of Egypt. God redeemed them. But the story of redemption goes back even further than that. It goes back to the first chapters of Genesis, to the creation story, where Adam and Eve rebelled against God. The story of redemption is told in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in the Old and New Testament, the story is revealed of God's love for humanity. The story is revealed of how God will go to any length to restore relationship. In the story of redemption, we see the greatness of our sin and the greatness of God's grace. So what's your story? Say so with stories of steadfast love. This psalm gives us four different stories of redemption, four different stories of deliverance. Let me read the first one for you, beginning at verse 4. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. Notice that there was a predicament that people got into. Wandering, hungering, and thirsting. There was a cry for help. And then, thirdly, there was a responsibility that was put on the people to respond. To respond to who God is and what God has done. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to humanity. Let's move on to the second story, beginning in verse 10. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, out of the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Do you see a pattern? A human predicament, a cry for help, and a responsibility to respond. It goes on. The third story is about people who tried to do it on their own. people who became, and these are the words of the scriptures, fools on their own accord. They snubbed God's counsel and did things their own way. That doesn't sound familiar, does it? They cried out to the Lord for help, and they were called to respond to God's unfailing love and God's wonderful deeds for humankind. The fourth one I love. People who went out to the sea, on the sea in ships. These people were not first-time sailors. These were experienced sailors. They had the skills they needed. And what they met on the high seas was far beyond what they could handle. They cry out to the Lord for help. God delivers them. And God calls them to responsibility. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for his wonderful deeds to humankind. Interesting stories. Interesting stories. And in these stories, we see the human predicament and we see God's power. These stories, in some ways, are very similar to our lives. The stories of others become our stories. Have you ever felt like you were wandering aimlessly in life? Did you ever hunger and thirst for something and mere food and drink could not satisfy that hunger? Have you ever felt like you were in a prison, that you were bound by chains or bars? Have you ever snubbed God and tried to do things on your own because you knew that you knew better than God? Have you ever been tossed by the winds and the waves of life, even though you had skills, even though you knew strategies to get through difficult situations? You see, the thing here that's interesting is that in each of these situations, people call on God for help. There's a sense of humility that's there. I can't do this on my own. We're wired to do things differently. This last 3 weeks while I've been on vacation, I've had a lot of interactions with my grandson who's 2.5. I can do it myself. Don't laugh too hard. Because that's what we do, isn't it? We get to the point where we know how to do something and we're going to do it. And we fail to ask God to be a part of what we're doing. Instead of joining God in what God's doing in the world, we try to do our own thing, and we get ourselves really messed up, don't we? That's the thing. We can see ourselves in these stories. And it's God's unfailing love that never quits. We quit. We give up. We get ourselves into predicaments. But God's unfailing love never quits. Why? Because it's just that, unfailing. It doesn't fail. We might fail. We might fail to seek God. We might fail to acknowledge God. But God's love does not fail. It didn't fail for the different situations we see in Psalm 107. And it will not fail for us. Now, there's a huge section of material, verses 33 through 42, that gives a summary of what God has done. And it's not there simply for us intellectually to assent to it and say, oh yeah, I know about that. It's for us to know the story and become a part of the story. For us to know who God is, to know the depth of God's love. To know that God will go to any lengths to care for us because of his great love. It's to know who God is, to know God's love, and to know the stories, to tell the stories. What's your story? Say so with stories of steadfast love. So that question I've been asking, so what's your story? That's a real question. I'm not just throwing that out there. What's your story? How has God been at work in your life in the last week? How's God been at work in your life in the last month, in the last year, in the last few years? We need to take time to consider that question, to ponder what God is doing. Some people talk about grand stories of redemption, of deliverance. I was working at a conference a number of years ago, and we had about 20,000 college students there, and I was working in one of the offices of the convention with small group leaders. And one of my colleagues came in and said, "Hey, John, I'm writing a book on conversion stories. Would you do me a favor if you find someone in the next few days who has a tremendous, powerful, just outstanding conversion story, let me know so I can include it in my book?" And then he kind of walked away, and I found myself troubled by his request. So I'm sitting there thinking and saying, you know, every story of redemption, every story of deliverance, every story of freedom is a powerful story and is an exciting story because it's not about our circumstances. It's about the God who loves us and created us and longs for us to be in partnership. That's an exciting story. That's a powerful story. And it doesn't matter whether we can tell stories good or not, because it's not our story. It's God's story. And we get to be a part of it. The last verse of this psalm is fascinating to me. "Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord." When was the last time you took some moments, some hours, some days to ponder the loving works, the loving deeds of God in your life? What's your story? Say so with stories of steadfast love. You see, the Creator God, the God of the universe, single-handedly has worked deliverance for each and every one of us. That's a powerful story. It's a story that people are longing to hear. It's a story that must be told. Say so with stories of steadfast love. May it be so. Amen.